Black Friday, well, shop Wayfair now. Month long quick deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best gift and core, Black Friday score. Silence and treats,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses too. Sheets that are new, everything home. These things in chrome. Hands of the clock, area rugs. Fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how. Win the season, win the, win the season.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early! Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, particularly if you're Omar Khan and got some more work done early this morning, and we're here to talk about it as the news is breaking fresh out the oven. Welcome in to episode number 72 of Cabali and Mac. It's the morning of June 30th, 2025, presented by the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate them helping us bring you this show, even during what is the dead time of year for the NFL. I got the hat on. I'm ready for Raw in Pittsburgh tonight. We'll talk about that. Kaboom's got a recap for me because I didn't get to watch any of it. Night of Champions and what happened over in Saudi. And of course, there was other stuff we had planned to talk about. Tyler Boyd wants to be a Steeler. The great Dave Parker, the Cobra, passed away this weekend. The Penguins drafted 37 guys, it feels like. And a former Pittsburgh Penguin is talking about rumors of Sidney Crosby going somewhere else at the deadline next year. A whole bunch of nonsense to talk about. We were prepared today, Kaboom. And then all of a sudden, it all hit the fan. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Follow us on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and of course, YouTube at Cabali and Mac. We're at about 1,830 or 40 subscribers. When we get to 2,500, we will raffle off, giveaway, draw the winner for that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. He, of course, is veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali, who is used to not having to do much this time of year because, well, mini camp's over, training camp's still 3 weeks away. You wouldn't think big things would be happening. We talked about this last week, Mark, but it happened. I don't know how, and I don't know how they're financially going to make it work according to the terms of this report that Ian Rappaport just dropped about 10 minutes ago, but Jalen Ramsey is a Pittsburgh Steeler.
How about that, huh? I thought it was all but dead a couple of weeks ago or last week by a couple of the insiders, but apparently not. Yeah, I'm curious to see where the money comes in at here. I think that number's getting floated out 26.5. I don't really believe that's the number when it's all said and done of salary and cap space. So it happened so quickly, I haven't been able to dive into it. But it's more competition in a position that could be good, but they weren't quite sure about right now. And give him credit, man. I guess if he has anything left, they're not leaving any stone unturned here. You talking about going for it all, Mac. They're going for it. I don't know what else we can say.
No, they're all in because according to the terms of this report, again, from Ian Rappaport just a couple minutes ago, I want to bring it up and make sure I get it exactly right. So I'm not quoting anybody wrong here. Dolphins and Steelers. Here, I'll just pull it up on the screen because I think I got it ready and we can read it together. Here we go. Dolphins and Steelers have finalized a blockbuster trade to send all-pro corner Jalen Ramsey to Pittsburgh. Sources telling Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. Ramsey's adjusted contract includes a $1.5 million raise this season, which would make his salary $26.6 million this year. You're not bringing that guy in to be your third corner at that cost, although you still need three starting capable corners in this league. That is a move you make to bring a guy in, like you said, loading up for now, and you're going to pay him that money to start. They have, according to SpotTrack, as of this morning, just $18.8 million in cap space. So the financial repercussions, let's go there first, is they're going to have to restructure some things or move a whole bunch of salary around if that 26.6 is in fact going to fit under the cap.
Well, the 26.5 million is how much salary he makes this year. Now, who's paying that 26.5 million?
Okay.
That's what we have to figure out at right now. I'm sure that the Dolphins were on the books for some of that. And like I said, it happened so quickly. I don't know how much of the salary is already paid for him in bonuses or anything like that.
Right.
So, we'll see. I don't know. I just don't know what that number is, but I would find it hard to believe that they're going to pay the 26.5. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't think that's going to be that final number.
Yeah, there's a lot of details still to come out. According to the story at NFL.com, Ramsey will leave the Dolphins with a good amount of dead money in each of the next three seasons, somewhere between $5 and $7 million each year. But it'll end up saving the money on the cap despite the dead cap hit. That, again, is pending all the details of who takes what cash into consideration and who pays.
They did announce the trade, though. They traded Minkah Fitzpatrick.
What?
Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now?
That's what Adam Schefter just reported.
What?
Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins for Jalen Ramsey.
This is a hell of a morning to think we had a show planned and that it's all just changing on the fly right now.
Whew.
Wow.
I mean, this is like real-time reaction of who fits where and what now.
This is bananas. Okay, so Minkah, we had been talking about for a couple of weeks. For those that saw the episode, we had Mike Logan on a couple of weeks ago. He expected that Minkah would get back to being his playmaking self. But if he doesn't, it's going to be back in Miami where he wanted out, 6 years ago now. And the Steelers made a blockbuster trade then, sending a first-round pick to the Dolphins for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Okay, now this is...
It's hard to digest of what the thinking is here.
There's a lot going on here.
Well, now the salary makes sense because you're just trading one from the other, you know?
The salary makes sense now, okay? The salary, I don't want to say, becomes a total wash. Minkah wasn't on the books for $26 million, I don't think, this season. He was on the books for, I'm going to have to bring the number up, 22. So, I mean, basically in this day and age, with the NFL salary cap being as large as it is, it does kind of end up being close to a salary wash because they can find the extra $4 million they're going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey over what they were going to pay Minkah Fitzpatrick this year by simply doing a couple little moves. That's not a big deal. The big deal now is the safety position.
Juan Thornhill. They've been speaking highly of him the past couple of months. That's your option right now. That's
It'll have to be Thornhill and Elliott as your two starting safeties.
Yeah.
Deshaun Elliott just extended a couple weeks ago, starting strong safety. Juan Thornhill as the starting free safety. And then from there, you know, again, this tells you, you know, I'd seen people theorize about playing more three safety nickel and dime this year since you did have Minkah, Elliott, and Thornhill. This might take that off the table, although Beanie has been known to play all over the place. This is, man, there's about 16,000 things running through my head right now. Number one at the top of the list, Omar Khan is not effing around this year. Again, in the last two off seasons, Omar has been quick, not quick. That implies that he's not thinking about it. Omar has been ready to take big, big swings. Aaron Judge-sized swings. And this is that.
Yeah. I mean, once again, it's not only Omar. It's the organizational decision right now. Either they thought that either there's one of a couple things could happen. Minka could have just said, I want out, which I don't feel, really felt that that would be the case. They knew that they weren't going to sign him past next year, maybe potentially releasing him. So that's why they got out ahead of it. Wasn't sure about their cornerback position. Felt good about Juan Thornhill. Maybe they just need value safeties anymore.
Well, maybe they looked at what we got from Minka the last two seasons and said, unfortunately, maybe that's more what Minka is now at this point as compared to what Minka was when he came in and made an immediate splash.
He did mean a lot.
Whoa. Hold on.
Is it real?
This is, I want to check on this one too. They're not just trading Minka Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. They're trading Minka Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith.
Oh, man.
Woo! Busy morning. Kaboom. Do you have to jump on the phone and make some texts and some calls?
At this point, I don't even know what's going on.
The shit is quite literally hitting the fan as we're speaking. He'll get a one-year, $12 million extension as well, Jonnu Smith. Okay. This apparently is a part of the same thing, but involves a late round pick swap as well. All the reports from Schefter and Ian Rapoport coming in as we're on the air right now. On the stream, I guess, whatever the hell you want to call it. So no details on what the late round pick swap will look like right this second. But we're talking about Minka and some sort of late round pick for Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, and some other kind of late round pick. A lot going on here this morning. What do you think? I'm on the stairs right now. I can see a little bit of smoke coming out of the ears. I know it's happening over here too.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. Well, I guess now, right? If you're acquiring Jonnu Smith, you are now saying that
you're out of the wide receiver two market.
Wide receiver two is now a.
Although I don't know what the hell to think anymore.
True. Wide receiver two would probably be then Calvin Austin. I mean, the biggest question mark would be two things right now. Who is going to be your starting corners, right? Is it going to be Slay? Is it going to be Ramsey? Is it going to be Porter?
Yeah.
And more than anything else is, who is going to be your safety? Is it going to be Juan Thornhill, or is there somebody else coming down the pike here? I mean, you don't have many other options. I mean, Miles Killebrew is there, I guess, but he hasn't played much.
As much as we like Miles Killebrew as a special teams guy, he's not a starting safety.
Yeah, you got a bunch of youngsters and, you know, Sebastian Castro.
No, it's going to have to be – safety, I think, is figured out, at least for the time being. You go from Minka and Elliott to – Thornhill and Elliott. The huge question here on the defensive side of the ball. I almost got a slam on the brakes here, and back us up a few steps. We missed an exit here. Let's start with the defensive side of things before we go on to the Jonnu Smith news as well. Corner, like you said, you went out and got Darius Slay. No one thought, I don't think, that would be to be your third corner. But you can't make the deal for Ramsey and pay him what you're paying him to use him as a third corner. Huh. It will be, I would think they're still committed to Porter as a starter at this point, Porter and Ramsey. Or does Porter get kind of shuffled back in the order. Now he's your third guy, and Ramsey and Slay are your starters.
Well, what they're going to tell you is there's nothing wrong with competition, right? That's what they're going to tell you. But there has to be a plan in place here. I don't see them giving up on a guy like Joey Porter when Darius Slay's 34 years old. Maybe they – well, you know, I would say that maybe they saw something in Slay during the OTAs and said, I don't know about this, but he didn't participate that much. I don't think you can make a determination on that through a couple OTA practices. We always need three guys. Can Beanie Bishop play safety? I'm just throwing things out there. He played.
Beanie can be a third safety because when you go three safeties, you're probably using one of them down in the box. You're then asking Deshaun Elliott to line up out. You know, deep, not deep center field necessarily, but taking half of a field in deep coverage if they're comfortable in doing that, which I don't hate. Again, I think the.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The three safety thing is not as, the third safety thing, I should say, is not as big a concern for me as how you're going to handle, you're right, oh, competition, you know, three dogs, two bones, whatever Tomlinism we want to use, is how you figure out who your two starting corners are going to be. Two veteran guys who neither of them may be with this team next year in Slay and Ramsey. Who you're paying a lot of money to when you include Ramsey's deal, and a guy who you seemed committed to seeing through this rookie deal and seeing what he had this year, a chance to improve upon last year, not take 13 interference penalties or however many he had last season in Joey Porter Jr. But I don't know how you look at a roster with Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay and say one of those guys isn't a starting corner.
Yeah, like you said, Jalen Ramsey would have to be, right?
Yes, at $26.5 million.
I think Joey Porter's the other guy, and you have Darius Slay. I mean, he's probably getting – was he getting $10 million? Still pretty significant money. Man, yeah. Maybe – I have to even look. I don't even know. I would assume that that's all guaranteed money from Darius Slay, so it's not like you can even dump him after, you know, training camp. Maybe he can be on the move too. Maybe one of these guys shows out, and maybe you try to get rid of Slay. I don't know. It's just they needed to upgrade the defense. And like we said a couple weeks ago, man, the cornerback position was one that they needed to somehow upgrade. But when you look at this whole scheme of things, you're replacing Slay for I'm just trying to think if they how they got better on defense. Thornhill for Minka. You would think that's a downgrade, right? I would say that's a downgrade.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're having an addition of Ramsey where you already have two guys there. Has this really made the team better?
But when we look at what the defense's issues were late last year, right, when they collapsed, the issues were in the run game, right? Minka, as much as he tried to, I don't think, and it was part of the issue in his brief time in Miami, never wanted to be an up-in-the-box safety, never really was, I don't think, totally comfortable supporting in the run game. Look back at the Derrick Henry stiff arm in the playoffs that I think he's still digesting. They may like Thornhill better as a true center fielder. They like Elliott and his job in run support, I think. So clearly they're telling you, look, the problem wasn't with necessarily who the safeties were. Maybe it was more about what they're good at, right? So we're going to swap out one safety for another. Yeah, technically it's a talent downgrade when you look at it. You've got a Pro Bowler in Minka Fitzpatrick and you're downgrading to Juan Thornhill. But he's going to do a better job of maybe playing out in center field, but being willing to stick his nose in and run support. We know Elliott can do that. We know Beanie, if he's a third safety, hybrid corner safety slot guy, can do that. We know he can force turnovers as well. And we're going to focus on the corners. We know we've got great receivers on at least one team in this division that we've got to deal with. And if we're going to go anywhere in the AFC, great quarterbacks. So we're going to bring in Slay, 1 year deal. We're going to go out and get Ramsey, which I want to clarify, he's not on any kind of 1 year deal. He's on the books for over $18 million next year in 2026. Cap hit gets as large as $31 million in 2028. And again, all this stuff is kind of happening on the fly. So bear with me if some of the numbers are a little off. I'm just going by SpotTrack as they're updating it on the fly. So they're committed to Ramsey at the age of 31 right now for the next 3 years beyond this one. I think this tells you more than anything that they've still got their concerns about Joey Porter Jr. developing into a late first round, early second round caliber talent because of the way he struggled at times last year.
They have now surrounded him with two high level corners in what would be a year that he has to have play well so they can make a decision on him next year. They're going to sign him to an extension or not. You can look at
that's a possibility. Like Porter could show you something this year and you go, okay, we're comfortable going forward with Porter and Ramsey into 2026. That probably completely ignores the fact that everything they've done is about right now.
Which Rodgers. Honestly, Ramsey. Why are we complaining about this? I don't know if we're complaining about it, but there will be a faction of the Steelers fans out there will be complaining about this. But you have an organization, unlike some others in this city, that are absolutely going for it. It might not work. It might just, you know, crumble and burn it down. You know what I'm saying? It could be burnt down here. But my Lord, they are just absolutely going for it to try to. When you're dumping Minka Fitzpatrick and bringing in Jalen Ramsey and adding another tight end is Jonnu Smith, and you got Arthur Smith who likes to throw to tight ends, you got Jonnu, and you got Pat Freiermuth, and you got all these players. You got DK Metcalf. My goodness, you are definitely going for it. And I don't want to hear one thing ever again about how this team just keep doing the same thing. This roster is about two-thirds away turnover from last year. Who is left starting last year that is left from this year? I mean, from year this year to last year. I mean, you're looking running backs. You're looking wide receivers. You're looking defensive line. You're looking safeties. You got so much different here, and they're going for it. They're absolutely going for it. It might be misguided. It might be the wrong decision, but I would much rather have them go for it than say, let's tank and let's see if we can get, you know, Arch Manning. So I'm go for what you need to go for. I mean, especially if you come to that conclusion that you were going to dump Minka or Minka was losing something and you didn't want him anymore or he wasn't going to be a long-term future of this team, why not?
Yeah, I mean, the decision to pivot from – almost Minka's 29, almost 30, I think, to pivot from him to a 31-year-old Jalen Ramsey. That's essentially what the move is here. It's pivoting from Minka to Ramsey. It's pivoting away from the safety who wasn't showing the ball hawking ability that he had when he first came over to a proven commodity at corner, shoring up that position and saying, hey, if our corners are strong, I'm not as worried about our safety position because our corners are going to have guys on lock on the outside. That's what it tells me.
Let me tell you about the Thornhill. Somebody, I don't know when it was recent, mentioned about upgrading the safeties and your guys really did anything. Mike Tomlin quickly interjected and said, hey, we got Juan Thornhill. I mean, you don't say that unless you like somebody.
You really believe in the guy.
But that's a guy that signed. He didn't sign until later in free agency, and he had 1 year, $3 million. It's not like everybody was knocking down his door either. Maybe the position is just undervalued. But this is a leader, too. I mean, Minka was a leader, but, you know, on the flip side of this, If you're looking at some of the issues last year and some of the bickering, I think a lot of it had to do with 39. End of the
well,
season.
Well, remember, when the Deshaun Elliott, when the Deshaun Elliott extension happened, we talked about Elliott and how he's a free speaker, I guess, right? He'll tell you exactly what he's thinking. And we remember after the Christmas Day game when he came back into the lineup against the Chiefs and he said something to the effect of, you know, it's week 15 or whatever. We can't still be having these issues. And think about some of the breakdowns we did see in the secondary. Maybe Minka is at the heart of some of those issues. And so they decided, listen, if you're not going to turn the ball over anymore, and you're also maybe going to try to do too much on the back end, we don't need that. Like, you're pressing to try and make plays. No, I want a guy. And again, you reference what Mike Tomlin said about Juan Thornhill. I want a guy who's just going to sit back there and play center field and let the corners do their job. Let the guys in the slot do their job. Maybe that's exactly what it is. Not being happy with the way Minka played the last year and a half, two
probably
seasons.
Not happy with the salary.
If you're paying a guy what they were paying Minka, again, $23.5 million, and he's not performing the way he did when he first came over, but then you're overpaying him, right? A lot of people had beef with Minka and the way he didn't come up with those turnovers the last couple of years. And then again, like I said, you see him get steamrolled in the run game. That's just not, I think the league itself, maybe the Steelers came to this conclusion a lot faster than anybody else because he was one of their guys. The league itself and fans have to come to the conclusion that Minka is a true center field deep safety who maybe became enamored with the idea of trying to do too much, whether that was because he thought the guys in front of him or on the outside weren't as good, whatever it may be. He was trying to do too much, and he got burned trying to do too much sometimes. And wasn't the run support kind of safety that he was trying to be at times or they needed at times? Because again, the issues late in the year were up front in the run game on defense. I don't know. It's a lot to digest about.
It's been 5 minutes
in the secondary.
It's been 5 minutes. They trade for anybody else?
Thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens. You need your yard taken care of. You want it to look great and also be able to use it any time of year, not have to mow it, not have to maintain it, not have to water it, not have to spray it down with all kinds of fertilizers and chemicals, because it's a beautiful artificial surface that you just get to use year round. You and the family get to enjoy. You and the pets get to enjoy. Get a hold of Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com. We appreciate them for supporting the show as well. Best looking yard in the neighborhood will be yours with the least amount of maintenance. We appreciate them supporting the show. Okay. Other side of the ball, just for a moment, because Jonnu Smith is now in the fold as well as a part of this deal. Again, if you're just jumping in, it is Minka Fitzpatrick and a late round pick, it looks like, for Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, and a late round pick. All the details will get fleshed out over the next couple of hours, but we are breaking it down live as it's all happening right here on Cabali and Mac. Jonnu Smith gets added to a tight end room that Aaron Rodgers already sounded like he loved. Pat Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, Jonnu Smith. We just got done talking about on Thursday, how Rodgers was basically salivating through some of his comments about the idea of using Darnell Washington, comparing him to Mercedes Lewis. Now he's got Muth, he's got Jonnu, and he's got big Darnell Washington. Arthur Smith, maybe a year later than he wanted to, now has the kind of tight end room where he can put 3 and 4 tight ends on the field consistently, and nobody's going to bat an eye because most of them can catch the ball and do something with it.
Yeah, I mean, we're totally forgetting about the other side of the ball here, and what does this bring for Jonnu Smith? Obviously, he wanted money. I wonder if that trade had to happen because it was the only way that trade was going to happen if Minka and Jonnu was involved. You know, it wasn't just going to be straight up. Steelers probably would have said no. But, I mean, Freiermuth has proved that he can split out. He can be a a slot type of guy, a bigger guy. Same as Jonnu Smith, the same thing. Maybe I think it should. I mean, just by pure talent alone, their offense got better.
Yeah.
Now you have to look at Arthur Smith and say, how do you use these guys? How do you use 300-pound Darnell Washington, who looks better? How do you use the versatile Pat Freiermuth? How do you integrate Jonnu Smith into more of a receiving tight end type of situation? It's a lot of pressure now put on him to be able to do that. And you know who's sitting back just probably loving this? It's Mr. Tight End himself, Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Man, I got Jonnu and Freiermuth, Darnell. Probably keep Cam Connor Hayward around, probably, for special teams and maybe a need here. He's probably liking that. It's just a different way. What would you rather have, a mid-level to lower-level average wide receiver two that you pull off the street in late August, or a tight end in of Jonnu Smith's capabilities and we'll figure something out? I think I like the latter.
Yeah, I mean, this – it's not going to be reflected on the depth chart. These guys are all tight ends. But you've got – like you said, I don't want to call them hybrid tight ends even either, but these tight ends who are capable of lining up off the ball in the slot in Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith, they basically said, hey, we've got this wide receiver two issue, if you want to call it that. We'll just go out and solve it with another tight end. And what the...
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery and time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This does is, like you said, it opens up the options. What I love most about adding Jonnu Smith and Darnell Washington being looking like he's in better shape during minicamp and OTAs, and having Freiermuth in there as your tight end one. And oh, by the way, yeah, DK Metcalf, is you can line up in a two tight end formation. And it's not telling the opposition what you're doing, because depending upon the personnel, obviously, you can go out there on third and four, third and five even, with two tight ends, even three if you want to, and they can be Freiermuth, Jonnu Smith, and Darnell Washington. DK can be the only receiver on the field in name, wide receiver, but you've got four targets plus whoever's in the backfield. If it's a third down, maybe it's Kenny G. And you've got a bunch of great pass catching options for Aaron Rodgers to work with. Or again, if you've got three tight ends on the field, you bring the formation in tight and you can run the ball. It really diversifies the offense. I think at a point, third and three, third and four, third and five, where it was plainly obvious that they were going to have trouble converting if they got three receivers on the field. This diversifies what you're able to do from one formation in particular, multiple tight ends, in a third and middle kind of situation, which I think can keep the defense off balance and give you the opportunity to convert more of those third downs, stay on the field more often, keep that older defense on the sideline, and maybe build some drives. And you don't have to necessarily do it with the, you know, handoff on first down, swing pass on second down. The same old formula that got very stale quickly last year.
But the bottom line is you're still going to need good quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you are in better position than you have been in years prior. But that's still going to be the key to everything. I mean, Arthur Smith can have the best plan in the world. They can have the best players in the world. Unless you have a quarterback who can throw the ball, what are we talking about here? They're still going to flounder. So it's still a lot of, not pressure, but a lot of responsibility put on Aaron Rodgers to make this stuff happen as well. But we're talking about John. You're acquiring Jalen Ramsey, who's 31.
Yeah.
Jonnu Smith. And you're giving up Minkah Fitzpatrick in the seventh and the fifth rounder, and you're getting the seventh rounder back. You might have to pay a couple extra bucks here, probably. I'm guessing anywhere between what, 10 to 12 to $15 million extra. I don't think this affects TJ at all. I think they have that built in of what they want to be able to do. So I just think they're going to. You know, another thing is, now I'm just thinking on the fly here. You know who's allowed to make this happen? Old Aaron Rodgers taking 12, 13 million bucks.
That helps.
I mean, if he wanted 25, 30 and you bring him in, you can't make this trade, right?
Yeah, no, you'd be up against it. You wouldn't be able to swap the salaries the way they have. Jalen Ramsey, for what it's worth, just tweeted out a couple minutes ago as well. Let me find the exact give it to me. I just had it pulled up and now it's gone. Tweeted out. Everything's happening on the fly.
Real time, baby.
Break my own news. Hashtag here we go. And tag the Steelers and then posted this video as well on the tweet. You guys can watch exactly what Jalen Ramsey wanted to tweet out just a couple minutes ago.
In Pittsburgh, toughness isn't a trait, it's a tradition. And this city's always had a thing for defense with an edge. Now there's a new name stepping into the black and gold. Shutdown corner, relentless competitor. A walking chip on his shoulder with four wheels and no brakes. He talks loud. He hits hard. He didn't come to change what Pittsburgh stands for. He came to show he belongs in it. Steel sharpens steel. And the Steelers just got sharper.
Jalen Ramsey on Twitter.
Iron sharpens iron. And second of all, this looks like something that wasn't just put together in 2 minutes. So
this may have been
done a couple of days ago.
Oh, man. So Jalen Ramsey, obviously excited to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Feels like he fits in right away. That's, again, he's a starter at corner. I don't know what happens at the other corner, but he's starting at corner.
Man, I just honestly, I like the new age Steelers. I mean, they might not perform on the field, but I love the fact that anything's on the table at any point. You're like, oh, okay, Juan Thornhill. Yeah, until, you know, Justin Simmons signs next week, you know.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. Anything's on the board. Never is the cliche, never say never. That is true with these versions of the season. Before, I mean, I bring it back to a decade ago, and the only person the Steelers brought in free agency was Leonard Pope. And that was like in June or something. And think about that until now. Wow. I mean, if it, even the fact that if it doesn't work 1 year, oh well, let's just do it all again next year.
Yeah.
There's just all these guys are like 1 year deals. I mean, Thornhill's, I mean, for the most part, they're all one-year deals, and if you don't like them, okay, we'll go move on next year and find somebody that works. I think it's kind of exciting.
Once yeah,
again, I mean, that'd be a way to build a franchise long-term, but we'll soon find out.
But I think, look, I think they're I agree with you. I like the fact that seemingly anything could happen at any point in time.
They're trying.
I don't want to say they're throwing things at the wall to see what sticks. That makes it sound like it's sort of haphazard and we'll just see what works. But I think it's more about, hey, if we see an opportunity, we're going to explore it. I mean, they were this close to trading for Brandon Ayuk a year ago, right? That was basically done before Ayuk got yanked back into the fold in San Francisco. But you look at what they've done the last two off seasons. This is what we wanted them to do at the end of the Roethlisberger era, which is go all in. and maximize what you have in the last few years of what was a Hall of Fame quarterback's career. And now, okay, just look at what they've done this offseason. Seriously, Kaboom. Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay. I mean, that's just scratching the surface. Not in a million years, and this isn't a knock on Kevin Colbert, but not in a million years would Kevin Colbert have had an offseason like that.
Yeah, I mean, even coming off of the Patrick Queens of last year, that would be unheard of. Who else are we talking about here? Last year was their big. I can't remember who they signed.
I mean, you had the whole remaking of the quarterback room a year ago, right?
Or 2 years ago and three, trading Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Anything's on the table. I mean, maybe that's a – I mean, maybe we're looking at this wrong way. Maybe we're looking at it as a good thing. Maybe we're looking at it as nothing seems to be working what they're doing, so they have no choice but to move on, right? It's not working, so let's do something else.
But I think this sort of – I don't want to call it mistaken, but it just, in this day and age, the old school mentality of build and develop through the draft means that you're always caught in that cycle. And look, they've done a better job than almost any other franchise over the last half century of utilizing that and not falling into too many down cycles, right? We think about the mid to late 80s. We think about early 2000s for a couple of years. Those were really the only down cycles. And now here they find themselves in what a lot of fans consider a down cycle. But let's be honest, they're always competitive for a playoff spot. They may not have been championship caliber the last few trips to the playoffs, but always in the conversation. They didn't have to hit the hard 6-10, 6-11 reset button to try and remake things on the fly. And let's not ignore the fact that were pretty high on most of what they did in the draft. And, oh, they're still going to have, what, 11 picks? Is that what it is? 10 or 11 picks in next year's draft? They've still committed to rebuilding. I don't want to call it rebuilding. Retooling on the fly, bringing in more youth, while also, no, we're gonna, if superstars are available who can make us good now while we're still rebuilding and stockpiling the system, we can do both. There's nothing that says we can't do both. Old school rules, yeah, you had to focus on one or the other. You can't do everything all at once. This is, like you mentioned earlier, a team in Pittsburgh saying, no, you can do both. We can compete now and also restock the system so that we're ready to keep it going when the Rodgers and the Slays and all the other guys start to age out. And so some of these guys that they've brought in, they're committed to for more than just this year, Metcalf and Ramsey. And they'll be a part of hopefully continuing things and bringing up those younger guys who they've gone out and drafted this year, the year before, next year. And instead of going through this sort of peak and valley cycle, as we think of NFL rosters or rosters in any major professional sport, they're saying, hey, we can go for it, and then there won't be any great valley. We'll just kind of stay up here and continue to compete because you never know once you get in the playoffs, and that's the overarching philosophy. We always hear from Mike Tomlin, once you get in the tournament, once you get to the playoffs, you don't know what can happen. I'm not calling the Steelers the Super Bowl contender, but they're doing everything they can to bolster what we all agreed was a borderline playoff team and make it a team that should be able to do more than just get in the playoffs and lose in the first round.
Interesting thing, too, is they've opened themselves up for huge criticism. Mm-hmm. If this falls flat, they're going to get torched, but they don't care. No, I don't think they really care. But imagine if they do go 6-11, 7-9. What you're going to be talking about in the offseason. Tomlin lost it. They brought all this money in. Omar can't. I mean, they're just opening themselves up. I don't think they, like I said, I don't think they care. But I don't think you can do this if you don't have an owner that is committed to a coach and a GM like Rooney either. Because it would be like, how about if it does go south and I'm gone? I don't think these two don't have to worry about that. They can throw stuff at the wall. If it doesn't work, okay, I'm not getting fired. And in this pocket of things we're talking about right here. That's a good thing. They can just let it all hang out because they know that whatever they do might get criticized, but it's not going to cost them their job. I mean, there may be other reasons why you don't like Tomlin and the winning and the playoffs and that and everything else. But I think that that feels like anything. I think Art Rooney had the – if you don't have a owner that has full support, I don't think any of this stuff makes a difference because they wouldn't make these trades.
Yeah, I mean, Art Rooney has to be committed to telling Omar and Mike, and look, I've already said this before, Mike Tomlin will be head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers as long as he wants to be head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's not getting fired. He'd go 0-17. He's not getting fired. Art has to be committed to Omar and Mike beyond whatever happens this year. So to your point, they could go 5-12 and Art will tell Omar and Mike, hey, great couple rolls of the dice you took this past year, but we can see it didn't work. You know, let the dead weight go. I trust you guys to take care of it, but obviously we've got to pivot. Now, like you, I don't expect that's going to be what happens. Yeah. I expect this is more like a 9-win team. I still think that's what's weird is all of this happens, and I still think it's a 9-9.5 win team.
They can win 9-9.5, 10 games, but what do they do in January?
Right.
Maybe they're more set up for January success when they get there because they did add Metcalf, who's had Rodgers, Ramsey. Guys have played in huge, huge games. So maybe that does make a difference.
Maybe that's the thread here, right? That they like look, maybe it's nothing against Minka. Maybe they don't have a problem with Minka at all. They just looked at it and said, hey, a lot of these guys haven't won in the playoffs for us. And so we're going to go out and get guys that have won in the playoffs. And because we believe this team is good enough to get to the playoffs. And we understand once we get there, we've got to get through Jackson, Burrow, Mahomes, Allen. So we're going to go out and get ourselves a quarterback that we believe in for 1 year. We're going to go out and get as many weapons as we can for him. Not traditional weapons as you think of them, but hey, DK Metcalf ain't bad. And we're going to go out and we're going to get Jonnu Smith. And oh, by the way, we're going to do what we can because we know, like I said earlier, we know we're facing those quarterbacks in the playoffs if we're going to go anywhere to shut down the weapons that those quarterbacks have available to them by getting a whole hell of a lot better at corner.
I mean, just looking at Minka, I mean, it's still a surprise. I would have never thought they would get rid of him, even if his salary was that number, because he was at all the OTAs. I mean, I don't truly believe that he's a guy that would ask for a trade. I mean, it's a weird, maybe that was the piece that they could afford to dangle out there. I mean, that's one position you still do have to look at. Now this, okay, maybe the cornerback position is solidified or a lot better where it was.
Yeah.
Now you got to think a little bit about the safety position now. I do. I mean, even though Thornhill and Elliott's there, you have to think, now it's shifted from cornerback to safety where if there's one position where it's a little iffy, I would say it's safety. And I think that they just don't believe that. I think they learned from Minka that the safety is not as valued as they might have thought it was.
I think it's a position they've learned over the last 2 years that if it's not going to be an absolute outlier in how great it is, you better bank on something solid from that position. So again, when Minka was ball hawking, making things happen all over the place when he first got here, it was great. That's a huge advantage over an opposing team if your safety is running around making huge plays all the time. But if he's not making those huge plays and he is making mistakes on the back end that leave you susceptible to big plays, run game or pass game, then just get me somebody solid who will hold the position down and doesn't try to make too much happen. And maybe that's what Thornhill is or whatever else they may do at safety. They just said, hey, we like Minka when he's making those plays. He just hadn't made those plays for the last 2 years.
Something tells me that they're not done. Maybe today, maybe they're done. But something tells me there's a safety in their future.
I mean, who's still out there? Marcus Williams, Justin Simmons, you mentioned earlier, Jordan Poyer. Just a couple of the names.
Well, those are free agents. I mean,
yeah, guys who,
point, who knows?
Guys who, if you get to camp, if you're Mike Tomlin and you really believe in Juan Thornhill, like we talked about, but you get to camp and you're like, okay, maybe this ain't my guy. You bring one of those guys in off the street during training camp and add him to the mix.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why Juan Thornhill had 1 year, $3 million. He didn't play very well last year. Right. So let's not overestimate his value right now, regardless if Mike Tomlin likes him or not, and he can play multiple positions or not. And if you're going all in like this and trying to get every base covered here, you probably need to add to that safety position and don't hope for any rookie to step up, undrafted guys or anything to that fact. So I would imagine that they're not done yet. Maybe offensively. I think that what this tells me, yeah, I mean, Sebastian Castro is the one you hear about, but it's so hard to put a guy back there that's that young. You know, you at least would like to see him be a, if anything, if he is the player that everybody thinks he might be, that's still a guy you don't probably put in there until midway through the season, if he is that good. So you need somebody now, maybe the Thornhill, but I think that there's a safety in their future. But what it looks like to me is poor Calvin Austin's not going to get extended. That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, that's the least of your worries.
Well, right now, don't forget, as much as we've talked up Darnell Washington, I think, I don't want to say that's an either or proposition, but if Darnell Washington has a huge year and Calvin Austin doesn't, because it is an Arthur Smith offense and you're leaning more on the tight ends, then yeah, maybe Calvin Austin doesn't get an extension. But maybe Darnell doesn't take that step forward because, oh, by the way, he's got Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith in front of him on the depth chart now and may not see the ball as much. And they go, Calvin's made a few more plays. He's had a touchdown and punt return before. We still need that sort of, I don't want to call him Swiss Army knife, but that ability to make a big play happen at any point in time. Maybe Austin gets the extension. I just said I didn't want to call it an either-or proposition, but maybe it is between Washington and Austin.
I'm going to have to pull out the old roster this training camp.
There's a lot going on.
Different fellers.
Thanks to our friends at Nail Studio 2 in McMurray Peters Township for supporting the show as well. Nail Studio II, that's a Roman numeral too. NailStudioII.com. Give them a call at 724-941-4595, or you can book online as well, NailStudio2.com, at Nail Studio McMurray on Instagram. You're like, what, Bali and Matt get their nails done? No, but we know people that do. And with it being summertime, pool season, beach season, graduation party still happening, we can get somebody a gift. Lakeview Square on 19, next to Juniper Grill. That's where they're at. It's a very busy season for them. Lily and Lynn are swamped, but they're great at what they do. Again, you can check them out on Instagram to see all the work they're doing. Looking to hire another nail tech or two, if you know somebody that's in the business and very good, or you just want to get somebody a gift card, right? Get them a gift certificate, a gift card to Nail Studio 2. Make sure they're feeling good about the way they look before they head out on summer vacation. NailStudio2.com. That's a Roman numeral. NailStudioII.com. We appreciate them supporting the show as well here on Cabali and Mac. We had so much other stuff planned to talk about today, but it all just went out the window. We had Tyler Boyd asking to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, basically.
But the word on the street is, No, the word on the street is all the offers he's getting, they were not very good offers.
Yeah.
Is in money wise, so he's going to play it out. And the word is on the street that the Steelers offered him.
Okay.
But I don't know what offered mean. They could have been just talking. They could have just been throwing numbers around or anything. I don't know if there was any formal contract, but maybe the number wasn't quite where he wanted it to be. So
yeah,
play it out to see if he can get cash in a different place. Plus, at this point, if you're Tyler Porter, do you want to come here?
See what he said over the weekend?
Yeah, he said that because it might be his only. What is he going to say? No, I don't. Well, put it this way. They just got rid of
Minka Fitzpatrick.
They just got rid of his biggest non-supporter.
Right.
That's the guy that
was not a fan of the idea of bringing Tyler Boyd in, correct?
That's the guy who, how can I say this? Allegedly.
Well, burn your Minka Fitzpatrick bridge. He's gone. Do it.
said, we don't want him here. Allegedly. So with him gone, that opens the door for Tyler Boyd to come rolling in here. But if you're Tyler Boyd, you probably just wait, right? You got Cooper, you got Allen out there. They're theoretically going to go before Tyler Boyd, right? So you might as well just wait to see right there. Plus, do you want to get thrown in with the Steelers and not guaranteed anything? And you're like, yeah, we got Calvin Austin, we got Roman Wilson, we got Robert Woods. We got Scotty Miller, Ben Skowronek. You know, you'll fit in there somewhere. I mean, would you want to do that at age 30, 31, and has already made 30, 40 million bucks in this year? I'm like, I'm going somewhere where they want me or need me.
Well, for what it's worth, he did sound over the weekend like he was, maybe he was just saying it, but like he was interested in it.
Because, you know, I'm real cool with Tom. You know, he's always been a good person. And we always wrapped it up because when I was at Pitt, we had a good relationship. I'll, after practice, walk over there and talk to AB and those guys and talk to Tom and just pick at different things where I can get myself better and just, you know, get a feel of some guidance, you know. And he was always a great guy. And we always spoke. You know, I think we had a great friendship. But, I mean, if it happens, it happens. If not, you know, it is what it is.
Is what it is if it doesn't have. Tyler doesn't sound like a guy who's racing to sign a deal before training camp because he's gotten a bunch of lowball offers. Yeah. Because like you said, there's other better receivers out on the market right now. But if something happens in camp, somebody, you know, pulls a hammy and you want to add some receiver depth before the regular season starts and you're Tyler Boyd and you're like, okay, I could play worse places. I'd be home close to family. I don't know. Not a terrible idea. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying that opportunity may still exist when we get into August.
I don't believe he lives far from us either.
Nope. Not far at all.
Not far at all. Down the street there and that. But I don't know. I mean, if I'm him, I don't want to come back here. Too much pressure, man. Everybody yanking at you, man, all the time.
Well, yeah, the ticket request nonsense and all that. And
just leave me alone. But he's probably in his last year or two, right?
If something were to happen in camp to somebody, right? God forbid, I'm knocking on wood. We don't want any injuries. Never want injuries. But they happen, right? And somebody, you know, comes up gimp with a hammy, and it's a Robert Woods or a Roman Wilson or a Calvin Austin. You could do worse if, you know, Amari Cooper signed somewhere else. All the other names are, you go, okay. Tyler was a very effective wide receiver 3 in Cincinnati.
He made $50 million in his career.
Okay.
I'm just saying he's been around.
You wouldn't want to make a couple more million?
I mean, he's been around, 8 years, 9 years, and he's made $50 million. Why in the world would he want to go somewhere for $1.35 million? You love the game that much?
Maybe he does.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm just saying.
A lot of times those older guys, or not the older guys, the veteran guys, you get to the point where I'm financially stable, beyond belief. Do I really want to play football for $2 million when I got $50 million in the bank? That's a lot of times why these players just disappear, because they think that they should be getting paid more and they don't want to put in that time when they're not getting paid what they normally got paid. So a lot of those guys do disappear because of that.
Well, it's convenient for Tyler that, like you said, his chief detractor in the Steelers locker room is not going to be there.
No, I mean, there's been issues. I mean, Minka's fought who? Deontay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Although Minka's the quietest guy in the world. Fought him, beat the living crap out of Chase Claypool. Got into some sort of bickering with Hayward last year at the end of the season. I mean, there's multiple. I don't think that has anything to do with now, because if he can play, he's going to.
Well, no, but look, it makes it a little.
Jalen Ramsey now, so it's not like
true
bringing in, you know,
Mr. Kumbaya.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you know, I hate to say that because I don't really like to judge people until you know, I don't. What other people say and what you might think of them is different, so it's hard for me. It's probably
right, and they got to see Minka firsthand over the last 5 years, right? So they get to look at it and say, okay, we like Minka when he's producing, but he hasn't the last two seasons. And maybe we've talked before this offseason about how they've kind of turned a corner away from guys who may be a distraction. I know nobody in Pittsburgh has ever thought of Minka as a prototypical distraction, but like you said, the communication issues in the secondary, maybe started to freelance a little too much back there, the Deshaun Elliott thing that we talked about, the disagreements with teammates. I mean, at the time when he had the disagreements with Chase Claypool or Deontay Johnson, I don't think anybody had a problem with it because nobody was a huge fan of either of those guys. But, you know, you start getting into bickering matches with, you know, a guy who's going to go down as a legendary face of the franchise and Cam Hayward, you know,
Yeah, that's when tensions were high after the Kansas City game. You know, Queen's talking crap. Elliot's like, well, man, this is just garbage. A lot of stuff was happening at that point. So,
you getting breaking news on the text? What's going on over there? Who else has been traded?
No, I'm just getting people wants me to come on their shows.
Oh, you're a popular guy today. You know that?
Austin Bechtold, Andrew Filipponi, some dude named Tim from Sirius.
Some dude named Tim.
And I got to go to wrestling here in about 4 hours, and I still got to write something, so this is going to be rough.
All right, well, I'll let you get to work. Real quick, I do want to thank our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. If your AC is on the fritz this time of year, you need it fixed ASAP. Give them a call, 412-297-1852. They'll come on out, tell you what the problem is, get it fixed up for you. If there isn't a problem, they'll tell you that too and just get you tuned up and running at full capacity again. 412-297-1852, Impact HVAC, PGH on Facebook. Perhaps we'll save all the other stuff we were going to talk about. Night of Champions, King and Queen of the Ring. You're going to Raw tonight and SmackDown. The Pens draft. George LaRock saying stupid things about Sidney Crosby. The late Dave Parker. So much other stuff we could get into. The worst hotel in the history of creation that I stayed at this weekend in Hershey. Just awful. You don't understand. How do I put this nicely? We walked in, there was no one behind the front desk, and I won't say the name of the hotel exactly, but I will say our stay at this hotel is technically in Harrisburg, I think, did not reach the levels of comfort that we would have expected to have in this place. Anyway, nobody behind the front desk, a little grandma walks out with flip-flops and sweatpants on, just kind of looks at us like, what are you doing here? Several people in our group had non-functioning toilets. Someone had the entire room being run off a single orange extension cord. Another one found bed bugs and quickly departed. And the pool looked more like a pond. It was brown. Was not open.
Where is this place at?
On Allentown Boulevard in Harrisburg, about 15 minutes from Hershey Park. It was a dump. But we had to stay there because that's where we were told we had to stay. $200 a night for a dump that smelled like grandma was cooking in the kitchen the entire weekend. It was bad. It's bad. It's real bad. So nobody cares about that, though. They care about Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith as Pittsburgh Steelers and Minkah Fitzpatrick headed to the Dolphins. I'll let you run and go get some work done, and maybe on Wednesday or Thursday we can sit down and talk about all the other stuff we had planned or whatever the hell else Omar Khan may do in the next 24 or 48 hours. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, my man. Enjoy Raw tonight. Tell the kiddo to have a blast. I saw him working on his King Cody sign. We'll look for you on TV tonight, on Netflix, on Raw, and then again on Friday, SmackDown. And go get done what you need to get done, all right?
All right, brother.
We'll all right. See. Thanks to everybody for supporting the show, especially the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com. We got some great giveaways. We'll give you more details on social media. Follow us at Kabali and Mac. Thanks so much to all of you for supporting the show. Have a great Jalen Ramsey day, everybody. See you.